This audio recording will introduce you to the concepts of dynamic cognition and explain why it relates to soul expression in order to help you reflect on who you are and what you really want. You'll hear about the different ways people have realized this, either by crisis or by aligning themselves to the core ingredients explained. You will also understand about becoming more aware of the inner promptings you feel every day of your life and how you can respond to them more consciously and strengthen your capacity to allow your potential greater expression. Once such a connection is in place, then I will introduce you to various steps, the principles and subsequent action, which are simple, clear, authentic, and balanced. My life's work is about helping people find and express their intuitive guidance. My approach is down to earth because I want to make sure that people are able to readily translate such guidance into tangible, practical expression in all areas of their lives. As I progressed with my career as a therapist and counsellor, working with initially mental illness and then in terminal care, again and again the message came to me through the voices of my clients that crisis, although liberating, is at some personal cost, and life could flow more easily and harmoniously if only intuition had had more expression in their lives. Through them, I witnessed the consequences of denying impressions, feelings, impulses, that those involved in crisis were being forced to communicate their feelings and to remember dreams they wanted to express. Eventually, I put all the pieces of the equation together. I came up with an approach that allowed a blending of intuition and rational thought to help people realize what they wanted to express before they were forced to, by denial and fear of the unfamiliar, to face the integrity that their soul demands of them. Life, letting intuition find expression. We're not here to learn. We are here to express what we already know. What are dreams but promptings from our soul? Why do these dreams come to our awareness if not to be heard and experienced? Why, when we feel the excitement of their birth into our awareness, do we hold them close to our hearts and keep them turning in our minds? We are capable of so much, yet we deny ourselves. And in limiting ourselves, we think we keep ourselves safe and sane. We are short-changing ourselves when we ignore the clues that come from our ideas, interests, and excitement. We have choice. We can continue postponing and finding reasons for not expressing ourselves, or we can think more about what we want to experience in our lives and express those dreams. What kind of dreams are we talking about? When we want to do things that we immediately tell ourselves that we can't do. Examples are doing things which we perceive as risky or challenging, like being honest with ourselves and others, having the courage to do something we've always wanted to do, or something we now feel drawn to expressing. Michael expressed his dreams. He'd always wanted to go skiing, and he did. He'd always wanted to overcome fears of intimacy and emotional honesty with his friends and wife. He had always wanted to drive a Jaguar car. He did all these things. What helped him to get to the stage where he could realize all the dreams he'd made a mental list of years before was a crisis. Through the crisis, he learned to feel at peace with himself. He recognized the times where he had a chance to calmly reflect on what his dreams were, what fanciful images played on his mind when he went swimming and floated on the water, the times when he'd been on holiday and experienced glimpses of feeling quietly in balance, when he looked at the waves on the seashore, when he sat in the shade of a tree looking out at a natural landscape, on a river bank watching the flow of the water passing by, the times when he pottered in the garden, played golf with friends, sat in his car, stuck in a traffic jam, and for a short time became intrigued as he watched two people talking on the street. Michael was a great teacher of mine. He learned quite quickly how to achieve that feeling of balance and peace, to dismiss all thoughts of regret and resentment, He had the opportunity to calmly consider what dreams he had for his life, and then to proceed to live them. Michael had a sense of urgency. He hadn't been given much time to achieve this. A matter of months, the doctors said. He lived far longer than they anticipated, with increased energy and appreciation for living his life. Michael taught me much. An incredible message. Live your dreams. Express who you are. Don't leave it until it's too late. Crisis can be defined as a decisive moment, often associated with danger or great difficulty. Crisis creates a turning point in our lives, forcing us to make fundamental changes and opening up insight or recognition of who we really are in regard to our lives and the lives of others. But crisis is not the only route by which we can attain such insight. However, sadly, we often create crisis to enable us to move to the next important stage of expression in our lives. Our soul has a purpose, a direction. This is why every individual life has its own importance and should be both recognized and honored for such unique purpose. However, for many people there are times when our conscious mind takes control to the detriment of the unconscious soul expression. When this happens over a period of time, conflict results, which will always be solved through some form of crisis. To plan to avoid crisis in our lives, let's start by examining the positive potential which crisis liberates within us as an individual soul awaiting clear, authentic expression. Crisis is about shock, anger, fear, compassion, helplessness. These elements of crisis result in our shifting from the familiar daily routine to looking at our life, the people around us, and the actions we take from a new perspective. In addition, a whole host of emotions surface, with anger at the top and most memorable, because of the force it exerts on us at this moment in time. It becomes a powerhouse for us taking action, as we no longer tolerate the situation facing us. As one of the most powerful emotions, it fuels our ability to express our innermost feelings and desires. Another powerful emotion, fear, leads us to become both physically as well as emotionally more alert. In becoming more aware this way, and over long periods of time, a spark is created, allowing other powerful emotions and associated thoughts to surface. Our ego often leads to an arrogant view of ourselves in terms of our immortality and the power that we perceive we have over others. In crisis, the ego is temporarily knocked to one side. As this process continues, we become more receptive, which in many cases can lead to a real sense of enlightenment in our life, and our relationship to both people and situations composing our life. The sense of helplessness which accompanies crisis has at its core the breaking down of self-limiting old historical boundaries which we've created, opening up positive doors to unfound expression through asking for and allowing ourselves to receive help, creating an energetic shift of balance within us between the ego and the inner unconscious self. It is the opening up or expansion of awareness at many important levels. So, the net result of crisis are core insights, clarity, awareness of real authentic wants or wishes, powerful inner needs and guidance, which have, up until the crisis, either been denied or allowed to become distorted. If you know people close to you who have faced a crisis, you will have seen how, mixed up in all the fear and anxiety, there was an inner peace based on a simple sense of knowing. When people recall such an experience, they find it difficult to put into words what it was that they experienced which helped them to find the way through. I came to realize that all people connect with a true inner knowing through intuition. Many people are aware of the positive results of crisis. We often hear how, after such experiences, those people make substantial changes in their lives based on no longer wishing to waste life by not expressing their full potential. Why is this so? Let's make a brief examination of what happens in crisis. Our familiar life patterns call them habits, if you like, no longer function. We begin to experience aspects of our life as if almost for the first time. We become more aware at a number of levels, experience emotions that we've kept hidden, look at the familiar lifestyle from a new perspective, relate to people and situations in a different way. When people follow this true inner guidance, in both the small as well as big decisions they're called upon to make, then life begins to flow in an effortless way. It's difficult for our rational mind to believe that this could be so, because it looks at life and events in a cold, analytical manner, requiring logical connections to provide the proof. This analytical capacity is like a double-edged sword, for when in balance it is a powerful tool for creating change in our life, but on the other hand can keep our mind closed to many important experiences. Such experiences are how we relate to, enjoy and learn from the world outside of us. These experiences also are how we relate to, benefit and learn to express our inner needs. So what is required to make the necessary changes in perception or the way in which we relate to these important facets of self? Unfortunately, I've seen how it took crisis of some substantial degree to make a person step outside of the seductively familiar lifestyle they have created, to begin to experience making a new connection. Saddened that this is too often the case is what has spurred me on to retire from being a therapist in order to devote all of my time to writing and teaching, and thereby showing people how to avoid such crises in their lives by creating a powerful connection between these two crucial aspects of self, logic and intuition. Some people are drawn to working on developing areas of their life in which they feel, yes, an intuitive expression, that is important to move to the next stage in their life, often at whatever cost. They have known success and wish to build on the results. And they have many examples of situations in their lives which afterwards made them aware of talents, strengths, courage, or love, which before the event they would never have fully realized they possessed. We're all equipped with all the resources to live life to the full. Of all the possible choices around us which we call experiences, we can be selective. However, when we discuss what aspect of us is making the decisions, then the picture becomes a lot broader. What driving force is helping us making the choices we do actually make? Are we guided by the perceptions of other people, or little Jiminy Crickets on our shoulder, whispering other points of view? And how do all these promptings relate to what we are feeling inside? What is success? There is energetically true and false success. False success is often accompanied by hidden but powerful symptoms of stress. Confusion combined with feelings of inner blocks or emptiness, culminating in a reversal of all the elements of true success. Contrast this picture with true success, where we are energized and ready to express more of all aspects of ourself, where we feel in balance with people and situations around us. True success creates clarity, more confidence and more creativity operating in our lives at every level. Ever experienced the difference when you reflect on the meaning of success? That which appeared to come at some cost, and that success which came with more future benefits to be explored. We are always fully equipped with all of the resources to live this life to the full. When we are noticing lack and frustration, not happy with the work that we're currently doing, or feeling blocked, then we're out of flow with our natural expression. We have attracted such a situation to learn one of the most important energy lessons of life, accessing our personal power, because the results we are seeing are not to our liking. We don't feel good about what we're experiencing. If this form of energy block is currently in our lives, then we first begin by celebrating the fact that we have found a block which makes us stumble and gives us an opportunity to stop, look around, and think again about the direction we really want to go in. The journey continues. We are configured in such a way that we have all the strength and fortitude to move forward. The block is an opportunity to reassess the route we're taking. If we weren't able to move forward and beyond whatever obstacle we find, we would never have signed up for the journey. Truly successful people constantly build on their expression in discovering the many facets of who they are. They have a zest for life and express this in everything that they do. This zest for life spreads out and affects those around them. They are impacting energetically on their world and can feel how an energy dynamic between their world, life, experience of life, and their inner self starts to work hand in hand. In essence, life appears to become easier, and people, situations, and the expression of our needs are smoothly and easily met. We're in flow. We are in the flow of life, or as I like to call it, we are playing the game with life to the full. Relate these factors to what is now becoming a well-documented area of medical research in both the press and media. Health, vitality, and illness are not all about what we eat or how much we exercise. They're about the attitude of mind we possess. What experiences we draw to ourselves by both our conscious action and our unconscious frustrations. It is now scientifically proven that our mind exerts far greater control through the brain on our body's function, and particularly on the immune system. There is a need for balance. We experience it at all times in an inconsistent, haphazard way, and our life purpose is not to make life and living it difficult or incomplete, but to flow based on an authentic expression of who we are and what we really want to have and express. Goal setting is not always the answer. It can be a temporary, stilted experience, inviting failure just as easily as success. We're not studying for the occasional diplomas and degrees. Living life with the benefit of conscious awareness can involve a natural, constant, ongoing experience. How do we access this awareness? Putting the clues together, our dreams, our life experience, and how we make sense of it. Are we really making sense of our own personal histories? All that you need for this foundation is already around you. Examine and explore the rooms of the home you call life. See what you've accumulated in terms of insights, tools, money, possessions, people, and of course experiences. Do some rooms need to be cleared, and do the contents need to be brought out and placed in prominent positions where you and others can see them more clearly and on a regular basis? Who are the people who inspire you? What are you currently feeling about your position in the world? Is this reflected in your life home? Where are the objects? What are you currently being told? How does this match with your dreams of childhood and now? There are ways of examining the resources for information about the future in a powerful way for self-exploration. People have already been looking. Books, tapes, courses, inspirational material. Even those who have deep insights or information they've read often find it difficult to put this into a usable format. There are no rules to be learnt. Life is about expressing what we already know. There is no extra information which will give that final key to unlock the perfect life circumstances for us. It is all about attitude of mind based on key energetic elements. We need an approach, not a technique or secret tool, a simple approach which is personally meaningful. Because then we can incorporate it quickly and efficiently into our lives. There is an approach which will feed the mind and the imagination and sustain its effect beyond the initial issues to create a long-term effect, constantly building and expressing our needs in our future lives. I'm not introducing something new. This approach is something to be realized or recognized, and by consciously using it, we are emphasizing and strengthening an element which has been operating in our lives since the day we were born. The approach I want to share with you is something I've termed dynamic cognition. dynamic cognition is the connection and blending of intuition and rational thought, inner guidance and conscious action. I use the word dynamic because it relates to energy, characterized by continuous change, activity, progress, and marked by intensity and vigor. This image is very important and an essential ingredient. Dynamic, lively, active, energetic, constantly moving, like the many thoughts that run through our minds every minute of our daily lives. Cognition refers to a mental process of knowing, of awareness, perception, reasoning, judgment. Knowledge is awareness or understanding gained through experience, a gathering of what's been perceived, discovered by us in our lives to date. So, together with the lively, constant moving aspect of the word dynamic, we blend the aspects of reason and knowledge and intuition. Let's take a look at the word knowledge. It's a word related to varying degrees in regard to our perception of the world out there and, of course, our view of selves in relation to it. Our knowing by perceiving information in and outside of our lives introduces another key element, intuition. Intuition is often termed a right brain, associative thinking. In essence, it's composed of hunches, sudden, often illogical steps towards insights, which actually the facts before us don't initially support. It is the act of knowing or sensing without the use of the rational mind. A sense of something which is not evident, an impression. However, without the balancing thoughts of rational mind, the use of intuition alone invites conflict in our minds when it comes to taking action or carrying forward this impression that we've received into our daily lives. So let's take a look now at the rational mind. Again, this is considered to be left brain dominant, sometimes termed serial thinking, which is largely logical problem solving. In essence, the way we explain or justify our actions. The rational mind provides us with a capacity for being logical, analytical, to make good judgment, sound sense, based on reason. In order for us to function to optimal levels in our lives, the perfect situation to explore every faculty we have in both our expression and awareness of the opportunity which life gives us, to combine intuitive with rational thought, where we have to achieve balance and be authentic to our true expansive abilities. So, dynamic cognition is consciously combining reasoning and intuition, using the rational mind, which leads to a result called the DC effect, influencing all areas of our lives, positively influencing the way we think, the way we speak, the way we behave, the way in which we interpret other people's actions and situations which we encounter in life, and in terms of the long-term decisions that we decide to make. The result of making energetic mental and practical changes initiated by using dynamic cognition enables you to shift your perspective, to create a new lifestyle attitude in which you access your full energetic potential. This results in a continuing development which opens up even more possibilities than you currently have access to in your daily life. The elements are not new to us, for we use them every day. An example of making such a connection is during a conversation. Your friend is inviting you to do something, to go somewhere. They might be coming up with advice for you, or suggestions, or information. At one level, you have a clear picture of what is happening energetically between you and the other person. You're perhaps excited by what they say, or inspired by their ideas, but your conscious mind persuades you not to act on these gut reactions. To the conscious mind, the ideas do not seem practical or feasible. You can think of lots of reasons why you shouldn't take them up. Or perhaps you don't like what they say. You sense that they're not being honest in some way, or they are really not taking you and your situation into account, understanding your point of view. They're not respecting you, or you feel that they're not really listening to you, understanding what you're saying. You feel, for whatever reason, that it's a one-way conversation. This can often result in boredom, a feeling of how the energy of the conversation is leading nowhere, not truly reflecting what needs to be said,
A feeling of stagnation results, often for both people, although it's not consciously felt unless you sensitize yourself to this intuitive feeling world. This means not just going through the motions with a conversation, but noticing the effect that the interaction has upon you. If you can observe yourself with your feelings and thoughts as you participate in this conversation, you can realize this effect more rapidly. The opposite is when a conversation is energetically flowing, with both people being aware of and using the energy of their words to clearly convey their thoughts. When this occurs, we notice how we're feeling energized, at peace or balanced with the other person, and how easily our ideas are being exchanged. Imagine we can achieve the same result in terms of the inner conversations we have throughout our conscious waking day. We experience small intuitive insights where the conscious mind links with the unconscious on a daily basis. This periodically happens every day, and you will recognize this as I describe it. It is often when our mind enters an alpha state of relaxed attention, such as when performing a repetitive task, or listening to music, watching the sea wash up on the shore, traveling home from work along a familiar route where our mind wanders into thought images. This is the experience when the intuitive mind blends easily and comfortably with the rational mind and produces a constant moving exchange of thoughts, insights, ideas. By using various tools and approaches, your aim now is to consciously and consistently open up to a natural flow in your lifestyle. Not just when there's a problem to be solved or an ambition to aim for, but to have such experience as constant guidance, so that we are more likely to be where we want to be and express what we wish to express. We have all the resources, energy, clarity of mind necessary to achieve whatever we want to do, which reflects our true selves' goal for living our life. It is certain that when we do not recognize our true energetic goals, then we will meet with failure. There are those times when we often act by recognizing our energy strengths, for these are never fully distorted or incomplete, even in times of great apparent struggle. When life is going well and we have access to our energy power, we're a little surprised at both how life can be so good and how easily so many positive experiences are coming to us at that point in our lives. We have clearly made the right sort of energy alignment at that time, and now we are looking to build on such alignment to evolve as far as we can in this lifetime. Life is not a race. Your soul is configuring experience at your own pace. As money can be seen as a metaphor for energy, then it's not surprising to realize that money energy will flow to you in an easy manner. As love is a flow of energy, then again it's not surprising to realize that love energy will flow to you in an easy manner. As inner and outer happiness is an expression of energy flowing in balance, then it's not surprising to realize that happiness energy will flow to you and through you in an easy manner. As health is a natural state which was configured for you at birth, then it's not surprising to realize that health energy will flow to you in an easy manner. Before we go on to the next section, remember, intuition. The more you use it in your life, then naturally the stronger it becomes. At this point, I just want to briefly go through some of the elements that are actually detailed in the work that accompanies this CD. The next section has been created in order to provide structured aims for developing and making an approach that can consistently be part of your everyday life. Please, don't skim over any of the features, otherwise you will weaken the effect, which can result in feelings of frustration. And of course, this only fuels the conscious ego's judgmental stance based on its fear, which I mentioned earlier. Remember that the Western world, an emphasis on the conscious mind thinking, has usually become grossly overdeveloped, leading to the imbalance which we are now trying to redress at this stage in your development. Preparation is about contemplation, is about sustaining the connection, is about affirmation or making heartfelt promise, creating a firm belief that this can be and will be your own reality.
to reflect or take time out on a regular basis to both consolidate your current understanding of the changes that you've made and to feel, yes, using the emotional barometer, the next step or direction that you know you need to take and at what pace you need to take it at. Remember, energetic principles are expansive and don't always fit neatly into the boxes created by your conscious mind. Contemplation, taking time out on a regular basis, enables and allows flexibility. This will always be experienced by you in those moments as dynamic, as a dynamic, vibrant process. And finally, affirmations, promises that we make to ourselves, to undertake, to guarantee our potential. But of course, all these affirmations must be personally meaningful to you. Many authors write how, when we're creating change, it's important not to talk to others about the content of our plans until there has been some objective sign in our world of them emerging in our lives. This is the key to affirmations, which is where we have to make a heartfelt connection with our inner guidance. Even after making every effort to make this connection, then re-examine the affirmation to see if your intuitive guidance accepts such affirmation as the next logical stage in your soul progression. This leads to a fearless belief, a non-resistance, if you like, gently and respectfully putting the ego back in its place, and always from a position of love. All is in place, it is just a matter of recognizing it. For example, I attended a large meeting because a colleague was presenting his work that night. All delegates regularly met for positive support after attending various personal development seminars. A middle-aged woman talked to the group and explained how recently she'd gained a powerful personal insight which she was now acting on to enable her at long last to integrate many, many of the principles that she had learned at personal development workshops over the years into a meaningful relationship with her and her lifestyle. Be clear that visualizing and visioning are entirely different things and operate in entirely different ways. Visualizing is a conscious mental process grounded by reasoning. Visioning is a process designed to access our superconscious mind and is governed by intuition. For example, imagine if a person uses his imagination based on his conscious mind to build a house, accesses his intuition, discovers his full potential, and realizes that in actual fact he should be, in his imagination, building a palace. In preparing the structure of this audio recording, I have not included lots of exercises or instructions for you to do this and avoid that, because we have to realize that by exploring the DC effect, you are paradoxically goal-less, if you like, living in the moment, expressing the intuitive, timeless connection with self, and, at the same time, goal-directed, moving towards the conscious, practical expression of your dreams or visions. Being aware of your connection to your intuition is far more important than being focused on your faster-paced conscious mind connections. People report that after repeatedly listening to my words, the DC effect grows in them, so be prepared to listen to this recording a second and third time within the next 24 hours, and note the shifts which have occurred. Tools. This is one of the core areas where, in the past, I've had major problems, and let me explain why. There are a few principal ideas that need to be established and relate to how we view any action we take to develop our abilities when making rational connection to intuitive insight. Being clear what we're wanting to achieve is a helpful place to begin. Just as a master carpenter uses his abilities to first select the correct tool for the job in hand, so he goes on to blend experience into the formula for a successful outcome. To fit a door, his experience shows him that he prefers to use a plane rather than a file. His knowledge, based on experience, enables him to recognize that only a light touch and a few strokes of the plane will be all that is required to remove sufficient wood to create a perfect fit for the door. Practice is about refining what our intellect tells us is required based on experience. Apprenticeship, working under the guidance of one who has the necessary experience of the job we one day wish to do, we go and learn from both their success as well as failure, which enables us to advance quickly and efficiently. Now, relate this to the ideas and insights explored so far in this audio recording. Our apprenticeship of life to date has come about through a variety of sources. From our own trial and error that results in insights and understanding, reflect on your strengths, your current wisdom, and take such awareness forward with you as a powerful tool for the future. Recall those in your life who have been a teacher, based on what you have admired, not just about their wisdom operating in their lives, but what strengths you have drawn from their understanding. I often reflect on crucial people in my life, from my family, when I begin to deal with difficult or important issues. I've always listened and learned from others, recognizing that their experience is of value at a number of levels. However, at the same time, realizing that we are different people, with different lifestyles, who have to be equally respected for their uniqueness. My study, if you like, has extended to people in history or the public arena whom I admire or feel drawn to for powerful reasons. Rather than just leaving my recognition as a passing thought, I have held on to such inner promptings and studied more about them and their view on life. Whatever your politics, as a young child I was influenced by Winston Churchill, not just from his public perspective and all that he achieved, but from elements of his private life which provide clues as to how such a famous man directly used many energy principles to good end. Churchill went through many depressive episodes which he termed Black Dog. He had a fine mind, expansive and uncannily accurate, to what the real situation was beneath the surface. I soon realized, from reading his biography, that he used the DC effect to great benefit. For him, Winston would access the DC effect through painting, spending time in solitude, smoking his cigars, as he built walls to landscape the garden of his family home. During such time, the conscious mind, fueled by all its factual chatter, was quietened, enabling the intuitive insights to surface. Many successful people will say how they did the same at an early age in their life, where for periods of time they actually imagined themselves into a successful person's shoes. Isn't this the case, for example, when we're drawn to purchasing fashionable objects, powerful cars, for what they represent in our and other people's views about achievement? Referring to the Western experience, we can see how these role models have expanded into other areas of media and the written word. Some people report how they see the development of the early 1920s screen gods and goddesses as the forerunners of our modern-day preoccupation, with the images of our film heroes and heroines for inspiration on who we are and how we subsequently lead our everyday lives. Such ideas appear accurate when marketing executives authorize large sums of money to pay celebrities to endorse their product in the general public's mind. The human mind often needs to structure its understanding of the world around it, which leads to a powerful need to put all of the confusing, overwhelming images into neat and thereby manageable concepts or idea boxes. This is an admirable concept when applied to simple experiences, which can readily fit into and still operate from within such a mental structure. It is a fact that everything making up our waking conscious experience is composed, at the same time, of various forms of energy expression, and so we are, at certain levels, right in applying boxes to contain and structure our thinking and relationship to various forms of such energy expression. For example,
recognizing how electrical energy has to be contained and, for proper use, requires us to observe certain rules of action if we are to benefit from its use, makes perfect sense. Confusion can emerge in our thinking about energy when we are suddenly required to explore the nature of energy expression, but without familiar ideas to which we can refer from direct, box-like, structured thinking and experience. The media, in all its various forms, from broadcasting, film to print, has created the pictures, images, even icons which people worship. These images, ideas, guide their lives through the actions they take, directing their decisions about what is right and what is wrong, what is of a value to them at both this point in their lives as well as in terms of a foundation for their future planning. Taking such a balanced energetic perspective, we can see the tremendous benefit when such easily accessible images can quickly expand our awareness of what is possible. So why isn't the man in the street not happy, no, even ecstatic with their life? There are many elements which compose an answer to such a question, but top of the list is that rather than their energy expanding from such opportunity, it is for many a case of their energy contracting. The mechanism behind such an energetic contraction is simple to observe and thereby understand, but in order to do so in our lives, we have to understand the nature and flow of energy in and around us. But what about the speed of life and our feelings of being overwhelmed? People within the Western world are not stressed and overwhelmed by their current life situations. They are instead energetically blocked and without flow of such energy in their current life style. Various academic but non-energy practitioners would argue from a different perspective, but for the individual attempting to help these people from a clear energetic view, this situation is normally very obvious. Is it good, or both emotionally, psychologically, energetically healthy, how people are being exposed to this obvious quickening energetic pace? Here we return to the potential division of thinking so aptly portrayed in ancient Chinese culture and tradition, the image of yin and yang, which is often portrayed in opposites such as light and dark, good and evil, male and female. Such a complete, accessible and powerful concept helps unravel the potentially conflicting and thereby confusing ideas generated in people's minds when they consciously explore energetic principles at work in their lives. The whole idea behind yin and yang highlights the need to firstly recognize the opposite aspects and then move towards reconciling or balancing such opposites in our lives. I'm now going to explore some of the approaches which are commonly used in various courses and books and explain their energetic elements as they combine with the mental rational ideas normally put forward. Secondly, I shall explain the basic principles which need to be present in any tools you're drawn to use so that both the insights and shifts created can easily be translated into your everyday experience. However, before you start using these tools, preparation is so important. When exploring books and other materials as sources of inspiration and to find structure, exercises, tools, once again your intuitive guidance will come to the fore, only if you allow the chatter of the conscious mind to quieten at such an important time. Let's examine some of the more obvious content of this conscious chatter to help you become aware of what you want and don't want at such time. Conscious chatter goes something like this. Because of my position at work, I should ignore certain ideas on directions, which involve any thoughts which might make me stray from the established norms of my world. Upbeat, goal-structured training exercises meet with my management position only. Intellectual, often complex materials meet with my scientific, rational mind and subsequent lifestyle. Only those gentle, imaginative and romantic story materials meet with my role as a housewife. really exciting science fiction materials that meet with a wonderful opportunity to escape from my mundane lifestyle will meet my needs. Open up your thinking. What direction for those who are listening to this material who come from a strong religious basis to their current lifestyle? Many religions exclude the study of any material, thoughts and insights, which will in any way create conflict with the established practices of that religion. Where does this place you when you wish to expand your inner connection with intuition? Simply, I answer that I am not suggesting for one moment that at any time you move away from an inner guidance which is natural. If you've been drawn to religion in your life, and this religion enhances your life, as I am sure that it will, then the approaches you will be drawn to only reflect, enhance, deepen, or strengthen both your understanding and appreciation of the core beliefs on which your religion is based. I know this to be the case for many thousands of people I've worked with who had embraced the many forms of religious practice into their lives, always told me how they had a heartfelt connection, broadened and deepened their understanding and subsequent practice of such principles on a daily basis in their lives. What is being put forward by me at this stage in our work is what I have termed strengthening our conscious relationship with our emotional barometer. Emotional barometer? I'll now explain what and how this emotional barometer can operate in our lives. When we are young, in the first few years of life, we possess far more understanding about life than adults often realize. We use intuitive and rational guidance to a high degree. In fact, it can be readily argued that if we didn't, we wouldn't have survived beyond the first few years of life, as no parent can be with us, attentive to our needs, literally 24 hours of the day. Research carried out by a psychologist called Schaefer in the 1970s clearly showed how a young baby dictates a mother's attention for a large degree as it decides how it will interact with the world around it, including their mother as part of that world. If verbal skills are not yet in place, how does this remarkable ability operate? You guessed it, through a programmed intuitive ability, the measure of which is far more sophisticated than any adults realize. At birth, we are programmed to survive by using our parents or any other adult in our presence to enable us to do this. Most adults greatly underestimated your abilities when you were a child, no matter how loving their motivation. Let me provide an example from my professional experience to demonstrate why. In working with the terminally ill, I was often called upon to work with young children who faced a terminal illness. One young girl, among many who stand out in my mind, clearly demonstrated her inner wisdom on many occasions when we sat and talked. I was called to her hospital room on the last day of her life. A long illness was finally leading to the end of her young life. Her mother had been literally by her bedside for the last few days. After sitting and talking with this young girl and her mother, I heard Jane suggest that her mother needed rest and to go home and return later that day. Medically, I'd been informed that the patient's condition had reached a point where she might die at any moment, but I trusted both my instinct and those of Jane, and certainly made no attempt to intervene. After much persuading and reassurance, her mother did as Jane suggested. I remained, and Jane explained that her mother would not be able to handle that final moment. They had shared, at a very deep and thereby intense level, all that was needed to comfort her mother after Jane's death, for Jane had made sure of that. Jane asked me to explain all this to her mother after her death, which I naturally did. Jane died peacefully whilst I sat with her. I felt an incredible sense of peace within me, and in my mind thanked Jane later for sharing such wisdom, insight, as well as for her inspiration. Jane would have been 13 years of age if she had lived to her next birthday. I have many such stories,
but Jane always remains a shining example in my experience of inner wisdom and guidance as a natural ability which all of us, no matter what age, possess. Exercises, the tools, can be one way of accessing the material from your very early life dreams, which need to become a part of your life today. Whatever success, be this financial, work, or career-wise, begin thinking now of ways in which you can draw on these images and select which can be a part of your life for the future. In July 1998, 4 years ago, I sat down and created a sustained exercise for making dreams of my youth a part of my reality. Within a couple of months, I began travelling the world, and it was paid for by other people. The dream in reality became far bigger than I'd ever imagined. Be aware, as I was, that I needed support during these stages, from a person who is balanced in their own life, resulting in them being receptive to your emerging exploration and resulting ideas, no matter how at odds such ideas initially appear when directly related to your current lifestyle. From many development books, which some of you will have read, you will recognize how important it is to select the sort of people you associate with during this time of change. Positive people, those who express in whatever way in their lives the features which you are recognizing will be of benefit to you. Those who issue fear and keep their lives in a tight balance through rejecting new ideas are best avoided for certain times when you are positively creating. You can return to these relationships at a later date, or re-engage in them. As we change, people around us will change. Some appear to remain stuck in their old belief models. What can you do about this? There emerge a number of options. Get away. Influence them by letting them see how your life is advancing and trust that they will accept the change. Enable and allow these people to change in the way in which they relate to you from this new perspective. Be patient. But it is so important for you to keep silent about your new ideas until they come to fruition. Remember that until your ideas have taken shape, if you explain the form of it too early, people's prejudices, fears, and opinions will distort the shape you had in mind. Being in the DC effect is exactly the same as what athletes term the zone, the state of mind where they are able to reach peak performance, where their physical strength, guided by their rational mind, connects with an inner balance of perspective and insight. Many report no conflict, fear, or struggle. A professional golfer slips into the zone, seeing the ball clearly with their club swinging almost as in slow motion, to position it against the ball with just the right force to guide the ball to the exact place they see in their mind's eye on the green ahead of them. Synchronicity, hearing your inner harmony with no conflict, struggle, fear or doubt, is mirrored in your outer world. What Carl Jung termed synchronicities become commonplace. You're always in the right place at the right time, and you happen to bump into the right person at the right time. Parking places appear just when you need them. You buy a newspaper which contains the right job for you. When you decide to sell your home, it is with ease and at the right price. You see a car which suits your needs, and on making inquiry, find it's discounted that day. The difficult letter you avoid for weeks is completed within minutes. A project which has up until a few days before practicing to create the DC effect in your life been difficult is completed when you return and find a book which contains the key insight which brings all of the ideas together as one. Whatever you do on a regular basis, play golf, go fishing, do the ironing, gardening, walking the dog, riding a horse, driving to and from work or to the shops, bear in mind the ingredients of this recording. Use that ideal time to consciously the DC concept and intend for some usable insights to emerge from that occupation
which forms part of your daily routine.
It's very easy to live with a preventative point of view, so that it is ingrained naturally in our conscious minds. It is already present in our inclinations. We intuitively know what is best for us. We know what bores us, and what we should and shouldn't do when our feelings are guiding us. Wise after the event, it is to say we knew how something would turn out, but whether we act on our inclinations or not is a matter of practice. Our soul operates in our lives by making conscious as well as unconscious decisions through a direct, consistent spiritual link. We appear to know when we need to do something or when not to act in a certain situation. Intuition, when we are quiet and allow ourselves to listen, guides us. The result, and I can testify to this, is that your life no longer has as many of these traumatic events to help you to wake up. Dynamic cognition and soul connection become blended into a dynamic consciousness. The insights are present, and with action, clarity becomes more evident. And so do the affirmations in your outside world, which help motivate, increase how you value what you want and feel, helping you clearly and confidently communicate who you are and what you want to experience in your life. You also notice the ease and increase in a flow of energy to consistently express your authentic self.